Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very happy to be in your presence this morning and to know that we are going on in grace by your word, Lord, being filled more and more with that word and consequently believing filled more and more with the life which is your life, Lord, and coming into a manifestation which is not only in fruitage, Lord, but into immortality. Believing, Lord, there is some standing here shall not taste death, but shall be a part of that resurrection without going down into the ground, Lord, and we appreciate that. That great hope we have, knowing that time and eternity have already blended and must come soon now that we completely turn that corner, the juncture is over, and the saints of God go away and then come back to start over in the millennium, the life that Adam could not get to, but now by your grace we are coming into it. And we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, you prepare our hearts today and cause our hearts to be very wide open and our minds and our spirits to direct the word deep down into our souls, our spiritual consciousness, and then see it come back, Lord, in whatever form you like, which would be in fruit, it could be in gifts even, which these things we understand are all there, but better still, as the prophet said, come back good Christian lives. And so we desire, Lord, to just be one with your word and walk in this light, as you're in the light and have fellowship one with another, blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 17 this morning on leadership. And as we previously noted, Brother Branham had gone from setting forth that the rich young ruler in the presence of Jehovah Elohim, the eternal life himself, manifested in the human flesh body of the virgin-born, only-begotten Son of God, failed to recognize the word of the hour, turned away from eternal life, even though that is what he said he desired. That's right. Exactly what happened in Mark 10. That's the Alpha, and today you have the Omega. He failed to see God present. That God who alone was able to lead him to God himself. Now that's a little strange. Most people have an idea concerning Jesus and they feel that there's something very, very outstanding about him, which there is, but they don't place him in his right office. Mediator is to see that you get in. That you get in how? You get in by him, through God himself having ordained you by virtue of the fact that you're a part of him. So here was God actually bringing this young man to himself. And of course, he did not reckon himself, recognize himself. And with himself, of course, being God. He just couldn't see it. He was so certain, sure, he already had God. And by the time God came, he had no time for him, no room for him. He missed him. Now, this is what you're looking at the appearing. The average Gentile doesn't even have a clue about the appearing. The appearing to him is the rapture, which is entirely insane. He failed to see God present, that God who alone was able to lead him to himself, that's God himself, and thereby enter into a true relationship of spirit and truth wherein he could worship and commune with God and serve him. Now, he certainly wanted a relationship with God. He refused the relationship and he turned down service to God. If he'd have recognized God and his word, he would have been serving him. But he ended up a self-server. That's what the Nicolaitans are. Rich, increased in goods and don't lack a thing. Who needs God? Well, they don't need him because God gave us all these things. And therefore, because he gave us all these things, everything is just fine with us. And eventually, he'll be happy to come down and get us out whatever mess there is. But in the meantime, we are simply wonderful. Brother Branham then went on to declare that this fine young man did not have the least perception of word fulfillment, which word was declared by the prophets, that's his own prophets, and proven to be for him, which they were, to meet his need, and that was given by vindication. So here he was with his needs met, facing him, and he turned it down. He was looking at Messiah with absolutely every word of promise and prophecy fulfilled in the Messiah. But because he could not let go of his creeds and dogmas, he missed the presence and made a fatal mistake and ended up lost in Hades. Now, Paul talks about that experience as epitomizing all Jewry. And in Romans, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 1, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sore in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, I don't believe for one minute the Apostle Paul was trying to emulate Jesus Christ and say, look, you can throw me into hell to save these people. Now, he might have gone that far. But with the revelation he had, and knowing the sovereignty of God, it is very doubtful that that is what he is saying. Because then his humility and his love and his sacrifice was going far beyond what God already had done. So I can't be for one minute he's just talking here. This is like Moses when he said, if you don't take them, don't take me. It's the Spirit of Christ is what it is. And already, of course, that Spirit in Christ had already accomplished everything that could be accomplished. Now these brethren, he says in verse 4, are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption. That's a setting forth of sonship as Jesus Christ was upon the Mount of Transfiguration. The revelation and the fulfillment of resurrection and so on, just to come, and the covenants, and the giving of law, and the service of God, and the promises. Some of that's just sort of repetitive. Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Now you know that to be true. Back there, when God led them out of Egypt, he put them to the test of idolatry, listening to a false prophet who could prophesy very wonderfully, even to the extent the prophecy is still coming to pass. And they got into phallic worship and sexual worship. 23,000 fell in one day. Only two people over 20 got into the promised land. And now, when they got in the promised land, God said, go in and destroy utterly all the Amorites and Canaanites and the Jebusites and all the rest of them. And, of course, right off the bat, they got tricked. Now, what could God have done if those people, which were allowed in there, what would have happened if they had kept the covenant? Well, the fact of the matter is God would have bred them right back to true human beings. That he could eliminate a serpent seed right there. You can take anything today that's been crossbred, and you can, like the species, and you can breed any kind of a dog or horse or anything else you really want. It wouldn't have been hard for God to take people and bring them right back to where they were. Well, that would not have served the purpose. That's why Brother Branham said, his marriage and divorce, he said, God will populate this earth again, he said, not by sex, but by creating. Through the processes of the resurrection. So that's what I'm showing here. All Israel is not Israel. Right today you've got the terrible fallacy that if your mother was a Hebrew, then you're a Hebrew. That's a lie. That's why Rudy Sorello calls himself a Jew and he is Italian. Because his mother was a Jewess. Well, you can pervert the Word of God to any place you want and convince yourself you're right. But I got news for you. How are you going to stop yourself from dying and face the judgment? What if you're wrong? How are you going to do it? What vitamins? Stalin used bogomolets, who used marrow injections. Popes that went to Neans. And every now and then you're going to find all this junk about Dr. Aslan out of Romania, how that everybody that takes Jerovital, and the product in America and Europe is not Jerovital. And I can prove it to you. I'm not kidding. All I got to do is when Joe Raskovy goes, he's got a Romanian doctor friend, we just go right to Bucharest, pick up the real McCoy. And I'll give you a shot of the real McCoy and a shot of the junk, and the junk, you don't even feel a reaction. You're getting distilled water and paying a big price for it. And if you get the real McCoy, which I can get you, ain't going to do you no good. It's all a scam. Geriatrics is a man named Jerry, full of antics, scams, to make poor older ducks feel they're going to feel wonderful and not die. Hogwash. What if you had a body 90 years old and was 20 years at your chronological age as far as, you know, not chronological but physical age, and you stepped off a curb and a car hit you? You gone, honey. You're plumb gone. Oh, my. Not all Israel. They simply aren't. Out of the millions, there's 144 at the end of time. Now he said they're not all Israel. Neither because of the seed of Abraham are they children. Certainly not. He had a child by Hagar. Ishmael. Talk about a crock. They're still a mess. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. Now notice, he said that Ishmael, a child by Hagar, was a child of flesh, but Isaac was not. Wait a second, now just a minute here. This same man that inseminated, impregnated Hagar was the same man that impregnated Sarah. Yes, but the germ or the gene in Abraham that got into Hagar was not a gene of God. You and I are the same way. If we're a gene of God, we're children of promise. To rule and to reign the earth with Jesus Christ. Flesh is flesh. And if that gene, which is the soul carried by the male, and there again I'm deeply criticized. Oh, it couldn't be. Merciful God. A is equal to B and B is equal to C, therefore A is equal to C. Right? Any jackass knows it. Oh, they hate that expression too. I said it and I'm not going to take it back. If you don't like it, you know what you can do. Plug your ears and pray for me. But you're wasting your time. Brother Branham said, you were in your father's loins. Where were you? Yeah. It's exactly what he said. You're in your father, and he wanted fellowship and couldn't have it until by the sacred bedding ground through your mother in holy matrimony you came forth to have fellowship. And the same prophet, which is in the same word, said you were in God. So therefore you were the carrier of a life of God being a male. Preacher's got the soul spinning out here somewhere, and the spirit spinning out here, and the baby comes forth, the soul jumps in. Hogwash. God breathed into Adam the Holy Ghost. I am quoting the prophet. And I'm quoting the Bible. He became a living soul. In other words, the Holy Ghost and the flesh came together to produce life. And Eve messed it up by going to the serpent. So now, according to the Jews, Cain must be a true seed of God. Do you see where your stupidity leads? Huh? Adam was the son of God, and if Adam was the son of God and had that like the Holy Ghost to bring forth those souls by natural election, and let me tell you something, as in Adam all die, even so in identical manner all are made alive in Christ. Do you believe it? You don't have to believe anything. I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm here teaching. You want teaching, you get it. That's what he said here. The children of the promised are counted. Now, just a minute. What have we to do with the promise? All that the Father giveth me will come unto me. And him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. The Father is greater than me. Certainly he is. He's God. They're in his hand. Oh, you'll hear people pervert the scripture, brother, sister. We're not here to pervert it. We're here to believe it. We're not here to give ideas and get ideas. We're here to know what the truth is. They simply don't know the truth, but that's not my business. That's theirs. Let's go to Romans 11 chapter. This is Paul telling you these things that Brother Branham is talking about at the time of the rich young ruler, this repeating today in the Omega. We go to the 7th to the 12th verses of Romans 11. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So who got blinded? Those that sought it. And when it came to them, they couldn't see it. They turned it down. According as it is written, God had given them the spirit of slumber. A spirit of slumber? Could your soul be slumbering? If it came from God? Would it not be aware? It's your spirit that's slumbering. Eyes that should not see, ears that should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare. The covenant. The sacrifice, eating of the sacrifice, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Listen, this is tragic. Snare, trap, stumbling, and their recompense for it. They go to the lake of fire. That their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, is it all over? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and then diminishing them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? What's their fullness? The tail end of 144,000. Now you go to 15 to 36. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? And they go back to Palestine, look for the resurrection. And we could read it on and on, but let's go down there at the bottom. Verse 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, grafted in contrary to nature to good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? In other words, where Judaism so-called left off, which was really Christianity, because they believed in Messiah, which is Messiah, the Hebrew for the Greek Christos, Christ, Messiah. In other words, when they left true Christianity, what happened? It never died. The Gentiles just came in to take the place. And they're producing the branches, seven solid church ages. They're doing it now. Now you say, brethren, I wouldn't have you written this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits of blindness, and part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And when the bride is in, God goes back to Israel. Branches are all pruned off. It's all over. Seven church ages are gone. The judgment. And the whole thing is over. Okay? Now this is what Paul explaining and Brother Brandis. Having dealt with the reality of that scenario 2,000 years ago, he launched into enumerating the other various choices besides accepting or refusing eternal life, one of which was the choice of conduct. And at this point, we notice that Brother Branham could not simply lay down a few thoughts on Christian walk, but he launched into a very deep dissertation that was actually explaining how conduct originates in the soul, or soul condition of the person whose conduct is in question, as to the soul's acceptance with God, which actually amounts to the doctrine of sonship by the soul gene of and from God. He simply couldn't take the conduct and talk about conduct. He had to go back and talk about that gene. He had to start talking about it. And he mentioned, he's talking in here about the body and the soul and the spirit. And as he gets into it, he positively begins dealing with the women and the men. Now watch, after confronting both women and men, as to women's dress and hairstyles, and men refusing vindicated truth, he challenges them to go with the message of the hour, and then explains as to why they will or will not, according to the foreknown, elected and predestinated soul of the person, and consequently, the person himself. Now, why did he do it? So let's go to page 24 and read again, 162. The choice of your conduct. All right? The choice of your conduct. You can't mix it now. You're either for God or against God. Now right here, live, die, sink or swim. He's talking conduct. Now we know that conduct is usually works. You usually talk about works and grace. He's not doing this at this point. He's going a whole lot deeper. You're either for God or against God. And the outward expressions show exactly what's on the inside. Now remember, he's dealing with women's dress and women types of church, but we're going to go back to Genesis after a while. See, the cocklebur, we merely think, a cocklebur merely thinks, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now the cocklebur is a weed seed, W-E-E-D, because that's where the earth began to bear after the curse. When she got impregnated with Cain by the serpent, everything went haywire. I've got the baptism, I'm going to heaven. That doesn't mean one thing, that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. Uh-huh, that's exactly right. Now, you notice that Brother Branham is dealing with the Pentecostal Laodicean church. And they believe the baptism with the Holy Ghost evidence is speaking in tongues. So therefore, every time they speak in tongues, they're anointed, and they're fuller and fuller of the Holy Ghost, speaking themselves in spiritual psalms and hymns and so on. Speaking in tongues to God, no man understands, but you're speaking great mysteries. Hallelujah, glory to God. And everything is marvelous. Now he goes right to 1 Corinthians 13, where he, as a prophet, and nobody but a prophet, let's hit this fact, let's get it right down to brass tacks. Nobody but a vindicated prophet could ever tell me or you or anybody else that 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul is speaking, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And he said that word love is God or the Holy Ghost. Now, to the ordinary mind, that is absolutely, utterly impossible. Nobody would agree, except under vindication. And then they say, well, under vindication, I don't understand. This man is changing the Bible. No, this man is not changing the Bible. He's opening the Bible. Because, you see, when they handed the Bible, they said, we can't read. That means when they read Red Love, they couldn't read Holy Spirit. When he read Love, he could read Holy Spirit because he could open the Bible. But they could not do it. See? So, you can speak with tongues 1,000 times a day and go to hell because the Bible says so. Or if your fruit is virgin, you miss the bride rapture and you go up with the second resurrection. Now, he's going to explain certain things in here that he's talking about as to conduct and why conduct, as he places it, women being formed, as he said, by Satan, and men not staying with the Word. Now, what would have happened had Adam stayed with the Word? What did God say to Moses? Hey, I'll get rid of them all and give you a woman. And we'll go from there. But Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and because she came out of me, she is woman. Yeah. Like Edgar Casey. He heard himself talk in a trance. Well, it had to be God, because Edgar Casey, how could Edgar Casey be wrong? Edgar Casey could go in a trance and describe people's condition miles away and prescribe, and the people get better. So here's some goofball born a man fall on the floor in a trance and prophesy something, and they prophesy and say, oh, it's got to be right, because it's me. I've come to the place anything I do or say is suspect. He said, Brother Bale, what low confidence you have in yourself. Yes, but mighty confidence in God and his prophet. Amen. Oh, yeah. You think I can run 60 miles an hour? I got 2 cars that can beat that flat. Get neither one of them, I'm gone. I don't need confidence in myself. I'm out of the picture. But in the picture. In the right picture. People don't want to believe those things. See? Now listen. Here you are, an outside person. He's talking to you because, and us, because we're visible what's on the outside. You have 5 senses that contacts that outside body. God gave you 5 senses not to contact him, but your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. That's exactly true. There's no way even a prophet can see God except by trance and vision. He's got to go into a dimension. He's got to be contacted by God like Moses was. If Moses' father-in-law had come by, he wouldn't have seen the bush burning. I'm absolutely positive. And if someone would have come by when the leaves in the tree stirred for Brother Branham and a voice spoke, you better believe, nobody would have heard the voice. No way. So you can't contact God by the senses. Now notice what he says. Then you have a spirit on the inside of that. And it has 5 outlets, conscience, love, and so forth. 5 outlets that you contact the spirit world with that. With your spirit. Now that's how people can get into the spirit out here and learn a lot of things and maybe end up in spiritism or under the complete control of the devil. You can get warnings, not necessarily from God. You can say things that come to pass. Doesn't mean it's God. You read the life of men. I think his name was Franklin. I'm not sure now. I'll remember later on. At the wrong time, likely. I've used his name here before. The man that designed the statue for the 4 freedoms, and I think also the Iwo Jima, Russell, absolutely inspired by the Spirit. Absolutely. Absolutely walked in that spirit. Could isolate himself from all contact with people and just sit there. And he called it God. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Because the devil is the prince of the power of the air and darkness. He seals up the sum of wisdom and beauty. Very clever. No man's a match for him. Even Jesus refused to match with him. He just quoted the word. So you got a spirit. And spirits can deal with spirits. Like Brother Branham casting out a spirit of cancer, and a woman with cancer yonder began, the cancer here began screaming for help, and that cancer trying to help. Imagine that. The spirit world. Your physical contacts the physical. Your spiritual contacts the spiritual. Your spirit contacts spiritual. But inside of that, you've got a soul. And that soul is that gene that came from God that your father bore. Or otherwise, every single child of God would have to be virgin born. Because if you're just ordinary born, then you wouldn't be the sheep of God, the child of God. And how could you hear his voice? See, you've got to let your thinking go and realize that that gene God put there in Adam to bring forth many sons unto glory. See? All right. Now, let's just stop a minute here. I'm going to read in a minute or two from the rapture where he brings out some of these things. I want to just go back here now to the Garden of Eden. We want to look at something here which may be interesting, may not be interesting. We'll just talk about it, you know, however. And the Bible says here in verse 25 of chapter 2, this woman that he took out of the rib of Adam, so that's where the marrow is, the blood's made, brought forth this woman. And they said they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, a little bit over here, in the third chapter, it says they heard the voice. Oh, no, let's go to verse 6. The woman saw the tree was good for fruit and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, Brother Branham said a woman's a fruit tree. She bears fruit. But also Brother Branham spoke concerning Matthew 7, where Jesus said, make the tree of the fruit good or make it evil. And that was the word. And there is a word, tree of the devil, that must be chopped down and burned. And there is a word, tree of God, that no matter what you do with it, and ever mind you, people are now concerned with both. You cannot talk about a word, false tree, and not have false people. You cannot talk about a word tree of God and not have true word God people. You understand what I'm saying? You just can't have it. So make up your minds and listen to what I'm saying and believe it, because that's the truth. Huh? Oh, certainly it is. If there's a word in the air, nobody to hear it. You're back to where the understanding is that the eardrum has a membrane and the little bones play against it, picking up vibrations. And the thing is then, if there was no ear there, huh? And a rock fell, would it have made a noise? You understand what I'm saying? Don't talk about words unless there's somebody to hear them. What does a false prophet do? He brings words for somebody to hear. Deceived and deceiving. And the true prophet, the good tree, I'm just typing that now, he brings forth the good word for the good people to hear. So, okay. This woman here, when she listened to the delineation of Satan as concerning the word of Almighty God, explaining and teaching her according to what he wanted her to get from him, she said, hey, that's great. That's great. And so she had a liaison with him, a sexual one, and her husband also. Now notice, the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed leaves together and made themselves apron. Now over here, and I haven't studied this, and I'm not a Hebrew student, so I'm not going to likely do much about it. But I may finally get some better word studies, and I can tell you more. But where it says in verse 25, the man and woman were both naked and were not ashamed, that comes from the word aram, which means smooth. And actually, it has the understanding in it that it could go either way. It's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily good. At this point, it's fine. It's good. Brother Branham said they're veiled. But the thought is this, that I'm looking at, is it can take a direction. Now, remember, they have souls. And the word of life to the soul was, don't you dare touch it, or in the day of the eating thereof, dying thou shalt surely die, was spoken to the body. Because that's when he became the living soul, the propagator. And in him lay that stream of life which would bring forth every child to God. Foreknowledge, election, predestination. Final outcome. So there we are in a balance. Now, after listening to the tree of death, which is a perversion of the word of God by Satan, the beast. Satan talking through the beast. And the beast could have said just what Jesus said. What my Father says, I say. And what my Father shows me, I do. Right. Sure. He did it. Now watch. This nakedness now is not the same word, it's an absoluteness. So you hear Brother Branham saying, you bypassed your spirit body, your word body, your theophany, in order to be put in the flesh and tested. And this is where the fall came in right here. Now notice what they did. They sowed themselves leaves and made aprons of fig tree. So therefore, now watch what happens. They put aside the veiling of Almighty God and had to now submit themselves to works of their own kind and thinking, which was now this. Remember, the woman naked and veiled by God was no temptation whatever to Adam. But the minute she puts on fig leaves, she's dressed. And how is she dressed? She's exposing herself and becoming a complete temptation. Now, will you be terribly surprised and insulted if I told you something which every man here knows and every woman, if you're past the age of 8 anymore? You know, let's face it. That a woman entirely naked is not nearly as seductive as a woman who is almost naked. Well, I've read my books. Don't worry. If you haven't read yours, you're nuts. You better smarten up, kid. Like every man knows that a woman with long hair is more woman than a short-cut wig. They just know it. Now then, these women, with their mini skirts and shorts. Huh? Oh, you can't say, oh, Brother Branham, they're really not naked. Yes, they are. And it's the rottenest nakedness there is, because the natural nakedness that is there that you were born with, you're flaunting it now in a way so that every man looks commits adultery. Huh? You don't have to believe me. Nobody has to believe me. But I believe it. Because I look for these things, I wonder. So here she is, the woman of the hour. Her nakedness is perfectly fine with her naked husband. The Bible speaks of the son, thou shalt not uncover thy father's nakedness, which is sexual intercourse with mother who bore you, or a stepmother. Holy wedlock is 100% righteous and perfect in the sight of God. But a woman who uncovers herself is a prostitute. And she takes her God-given nakedness in a man to expose themselves. They have committed adultery, and she will answer for every man. The woman who said to Brother Branham, I do not wear men's clothes, I wear shorts. I beg your pardon, opposite. I can't remember now. One of the two. He said that's worse. Because what does the woman do taking men's clothes now? She is covering herself with what God gave him and taking an authority the same as she did back there. And notice what she does? She uses her sex to get the authority. And every time you hear a woman rise up, it's because she's been oppressed. It's because she's been run down. It's because she has no equality. Read your great romancers. And I think most women are fatheads, but not fatheads here, if you are smart enough. You'll find the great romancers were always those books that showed men loving women, even killing for them, dying for them. Women want equality. She had her equality. She threw it to the breezes, and she's used her sex ever since. Until now, man has said, who needs your sex pot? I'll go to another man. You know, say, Brother Dale, how can you read all that into Brother Branham's sermons? Hey, I've only covered about 40 of them, and how many I've heard and read, I don't know. Well, I know what the prophets say. And I've got a God that takes me to the Bible, because I believe Brother Branham got it out of the Bible. I have no problem with that, because, you see, I can go to the Bible. It's there. Now, Brother Branham says in the next verse here, paragraph, when he says you got a soul, a gene that came from God, and like a baby formed in its mother's womb, when the baby comes, in other words, when the baby is conceived, starts its place in the mother's womb, the little germ, it crawls into the egg. It doesn't form one cell a human, the next a dog, the next a cat, the next a horse. It's all human cells because it's building off an original human cell. What if Adam and Eve had waited their turn? The whole world would have been purely Adamic sons and daughters of God. Amen. And gone on their proper places. Now, let's read from the rapture, and I'm doing this on purpose, because this is where Brother Branham started in Yuma, which I believe is that short, powerful message that came out of the rest. I'm not saying it is. Look, Brother Branham could come back with another powerful message. I don't know what the future holds. I'm not interested. I want to know now. I'm very pragmatic. I don't care what I ate last night. I don't even care what I ate this morning. I'm thinking of, when I get out of here, what am I going to eat when it's time to sit down? I wouldn't be thinking of supper. So, man, Dave, you got no foresight. No, I got brains. I got wisdom. Now listen, page 17, paragraph 82 and 3. The very word church means called out of. And as Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. A church out of a church. Members from every denomination making up a bride tree. It's in the tape, the bride tree. A bride coming out called. And that's the one, the bride tree is the bride, rather, is the one that's going to be in the rapture. That alone, nothing but the bride, the elected one, foreknown by God from the beginning, the Father's spiritual gene. Now he tells you, unless you were there in that beginning or in God, and you have a part of him which light is life eternal, manifested through human flesh, you are not going to be in that rapture. Now let me just stop a minute. I'm getting nervous because time's going on. Now notice, look. Each of you people, do you know years before you were born, you were in your father as a gene? Huh? Is that what he said? That's right. A germ of seed was in your father, comes from the male sex, not the female. Anybody knows that? Now that's a big joke on the lesbians. They want to get together and have a family, so they got to get a male somehow. The big naturalova. Oh, my God, you can tell she's got the bomb looking at her. Who, what man would want her? She lifts weight. Women with muscles, they look like a skinned rabbit. Yeah, thank you. You know a little anatomy, don't you? I've seen skinned rabbits. These women pump iron. Would you want one to kiss you? I wouldn't even let her make me a pancake. Merciful God. That's the truth. That's have nothing to do with it. Don't even talk to me about it. God's condemned it. And let me tell you something. Their stinking lives have an effect on me. You bet not that I want anything to do with them. Just sets up more and more judgment all the time. More and more nervousness. More and more everything. Female furnishes the egg, a bedding ground, but the germ comes from the father. Now, say in my father or my son sitting here. When I was 16 years old, my son was in me. I didn't know him, but he was there. Now, through bedding ground, through holy wedlock, he becomes the image of me. I know him. I can fellowship with him. And he came just at the time when it's the right time. Now, so you were in, if you got eternal life, you were in God before there ever was a world. You were a part, a son of God, an attribute of God. He knew the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to that age to take that place. And no one else can take it. Then you're very integral, integrated part of the body, aren't you? Don't care how many personations and things are sent. You've got to be there because he knew you'd be there. Didn't he say they'd be here in that meeting that night? Now you are made manifest. Now you can fellowship with him. And that's what he wants. He's longing for this fellowship to be worshipped. But if your life did not always, your life was not always an attribute of God, you're just a mimic of Christianity, see? There'll be billions and billions of them just be mimics of Christianity. He talks about watching artificial insemination from cattle. In the literal discharge of the male, there's somewhat a million germs come forth from the male each time. I think there's millions. And somewhat a million eggs from the female. Now that is correct, but the biologist will say, no, the female has about 250,000 eggs. That's true. But there's little hair-like things in there from which the eggs come, and it makes millions. Huh? You might not know that. I talked to a biologist, so I know what I'm talking about. I wanted to get that statement right. But did you know that all those little germs moving around, millions of them, there's only one of them ordained to life, and there's only one egg fertile, and that little germ will crawl right up through there, every one of them, other little germs, right over the top of every little germ looking just like him, and come over the top of that and come over here and find that fertile egg and crawl into it. We also know that many attack the egg, they crawl on it and they stay there, but they can't penetrate. How come? Sovereignty. And then all the rest of them die. Why talk about a virgin birth? Why is it not half as mysterious as a physical birth? How it's foreordained and predestinated by God. That's one of my favorite quotes. Now, in the beginning, way back, way years ago, before there was a time began, you, if you were a born-again Christian tonight, you were in God then, your Father. And that's why when you come to this place here and profess Christianity, everything goes wrong. You wonder why this is all this. You wondered at it, but one day something struck you. What was it? The light that was down there, in there from the beginning. Then he tells his eagle story. Now notice what he says here. He says here, you were in God then, your Father. Now notice, he always puts God ahead of Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God who is the Father. And that's the trouble. There are too many people talk about Father neglecting the fact that he's God. It's just like too many kids and too many parents, especially men, have this concept, my son is a pal and I'm the pal. You're a father. Before you start palling around. And Brother Branham used the word fellowship. And fellowship means when your son and my son can stand up as peers to us. Yeah, to take you to dinner the same as you took them. To talk with you the same as you talked. Sitting here this morning, how many of you actually have sons that even begin to categorize that? Yeah. Pretty quiet. Looks like we're all having a hard time. All right. When a germ comes into the womb of a female, it don't take on. In other words, just catch it on. You didn't become a human germ from your father. The next thing become a germ of a dog. The next thing a cat. Next a chicken. It's all human germ. If your soul came from God, there'd be no variation. Your body is going to be human body. The body of Jesus, the bride of Christ, will be part of his body, which he was the Word, and the bride will have to be Word. Word added to Word added to Word. Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecostal's baptism with the Holy Ghost and restoration of gifts, and all the rest of it goes with it. It's got to be Word on top of Word, germ on top of germ, life on top of life, to bring out the full stature of the bride of Christ, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you remember, you are an attribute. And now the thing of it is, after we find out these things that Christ is coming for his bride, not how do we get into the bride? Now how do we get into the bride? Now that's the question. Many say join our congregation. One of them want a certain type of baptism. One wants you to know this, that. One said you speak in tongues or you don't have to. Other said you have to speak, you know, just back and forth. This one says you must dance in the Spirit, and this one says you must show. This has got a sensation. It's all wrong, and yet it's all right, but then it's still wrong. How could a man or a woman of God that's born of the Spirit deny the Word of God when God himself interpreted and said, this is it, I promised it, here it is, showing it just as plain as it can be. Why, they're bound to see it. See, how could Christ deny his own Word? If Christ is in you, he can't deny his own Word. Now you see, he takes them right to the place where they have to admit, what is wrong today in Christianity? We need the Word restored. It's no longer a conference call. Let's bring it all together, hallelujah, in one nice ecumenical move. And it doesn't really matter what we're saying. We're all here to represent and talk to Jesus, like the old Pope said to the voodoo artist. Why, he said, we go back to our fathers the same. Well, if he's telling this old voodoo junk heap that's a spiritism that God created that voodoo father, the devil, and the Pope claims the same father by creation, the devil, I can go with that. But he wants to stick the devil in the lap of God as though he were a son of God. He could have to boil me in oil. By the grace of God, I'd have to call him a liar at his face. got no part of it. And he's no worse than the Protestant so-called. Then how do you get in this body? By one Spirit we're all baptized in his body, by one Holy Ghost baptism. You want to put that down, 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit we're all baptized. And the Spirit is the life of Christ. Is that right? The life of Christ. And the life of any seed, which he was the word seed, brings the seed to life. You get it? If that life is lying in the seed, and this baptism of the Holy Ghost comes upon it, it's bound to bring forth the seed life. Well, what he's actually, what you're looking at there in very plain English, is the fact when the water falls upon the seed, it's going to sprout. He says it very many ways, but what I wanted you to notice here was, in his last series of messages, he's going right into this very, very heavy on the grounds of sovereignty, which is 100% rejected by the Armenian people. And the Armenian people have gone to this to the extent like the River Baptists and the German Baptists, the Mennonites and the rest of them, they got a black hat and black clothes and that's gone. Put their stupid little wigs on, their little dinky things on their head, though they do have long hair, thank God, and they call that the covering when the hair is the covering. It's all gone to creeds and dogmas. There's no life in it. Nothing outside of this message will come to life. And remember, this life was coming all the way from the beginning, even when it almost died, went down to the stump of a bride tree, saved the oil and the wine, keep some little thing going, now it starts to come back. And what comes back? What went down comes back, original. Nothing else will take its place. See? All right. I'll read this again. And like a baby formed in his mother's womb, when the baby comes, that's going to, forming in the womb at that time, conception take place, a little germ crawls into the egg, the male sperm. It doesn't form one cell human and a dog and a cat and so on. It multiplies from the original. Now, what happened when God put that into Adam? Huh? It tells you flat that Adam's children by Eve were sons of God and daughters of God. But it tells you flat in the scripture that Eve was the mother of all living, and science has proven it, but it doesn't say Adam was the father of all living. And he wasn't. Rotten beast wise. Trouble was he knew better too. Now when a man has been born again by the word of God, predestinated to eternal life, called elected, it'll be word of God on top of word of God, not a denominational creed and then a word and a creed. It won't work. You can't have that leaven in it. Only one eternal life, Jesus Christ the Word. Now why in the world does he keep saying that? Because when Jesus Christ came forth, he came forth 100% according to the Word. In other words, he was that prophetic Word of God that was written and was spoken and came into 100% manifestation according to what God wanted, and God got what he wanted, and God is satisfied with what he got. And now it's passed on to us. And we're being placed here at the end time to know how the body is built up to the very head. And it's done by word. And there's always been a fivefold faithful ministry, whether anybody wants to believe it or not, according to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And we read it dozens and dozens of times if we read it once. And we go back to Ephesians 4. And it tells you, here, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all is above all and through all, in you all. He tells you very flat there that Jesus Christ is head of the church, and God is head of Jesus Christ. And he tells everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, there isn't one person who hasn't been given sufficiency from God to manifest himself as a manifested son, to take that living word of God and to become the fulfillment of it. In the due time and under the right circumstances, it'll come out. And then it tells you that God himself came down. And when he came down, he set up in his church, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. And he gave them for the perfect, the equipping of the saints to have a ministry that works, to build the body of Christ, that's the bride. And notice, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Just what he said in Ephesians 1:17. There it is again. And at that time we'll no more be children. The fullness of Melchizedek breaks upon us. We won't be drinking milk. We won't be carried about with sleight of men, winds of doctrine, cunning craft. People lying, wait to deceive. Won't do them any good. Why? Because we're holding the truth in the Holy Ghost, growing up unto him. We're already in him. We're forming a tabernacle. In all things, the whole Word of God. Now, that whole Word of God is not something that you and I produce by ourselves, or even produce with the help of God from that Word. Either we were or we won't. Or aren't, I beg your pardon. That's your passive faith. You've got to believe it. Your active faith is merely how you respond, whether you want to walk and pick up your cross or whether you just want to fool around. And if you just want to fool around, you better believe. Without the cross, you're not a Christian. It's just simple. But he said to Brother Branham one time, and I'm not using this as an example because it's money, but the question came in, Brother Branham, should a Christian tithe? He said, if you're a Christian, you will tithe. Not if you are a Christian, you will forgive your enemies. If you are a Christian, you will do this and that. You might not forget. And you may let the person know you're not forgetting either, too, which is not nice. But you can forgive. So you grew up unto him. From whom, now watch, from whom the whole body. In other words, what came down here builds up to there. And when what came down is all finished to bring us from here to there, there's a flange. That's the neck for the great pyramid. Then there's only one thing left, and that's for the head to come down. And when the head comes down, he comes down with his mouth. Just like when he was down here with Paul. So the body doesn't go this way anymore. It goes from the neck straight up. Brother Branham put the neck in shape, so the head come down. And what was it? What was putting the neck in shape? The perfect ministry. The perfect ministry of vindication. It had to be God doing the talking. The mouth was down. God, the mouth was down. The head was down. The mind was down. No more moving parts. You say, what about the little tympanum, the bones in the ears? Sure, you know why they move? Because the voice is talking to you. Why these things, the eyes move? Why? Because you're watching all the good things the voice is telling you. You're doing that moving. But you wouldn't be doing the moving except for God's life in there doing it. You'd be closing your eyes blind. You'd be shoving your ears. Wouldn't you? Certainly you would. The Bible says so. Huh? Don't pretend you're somebody if you're not. Let's not pretend we're somebody we're not. Remember Brother Branham said, you say that if you'd been there in the time of Christ, you wouldn't have crucified him. You're the very one that would have done it. Why? Because that's what they said in his day. Why? We wouldn't have done what our fathers did. Ha-ha! He said, you're the ones. You're the ones, that same spirit in your father. You and your father putting him in the sepulchres and killing him, sawing Isaiah in two. Oh my, he had some tough answers for those guys. Yes, the very everything that he sends down maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The Holy Spirit doing it. There's only one way God builds a body, and that's him sending the material here and him working in that material. Now he says right here, Brother Branham said, you can't live in it. In other words, the church from the beginning was pure word. As when Jesus said, upon this I'll build my church, the same with the Apostle Paul. And Christ is that word because he is the exact fulfillment. That's why he's called Logos. You just can't use the word Logos unless something from the original is right there. That's why Brother Branham said, the beginning was the Word is a God, and the Word was God. If you make the Logos Jesus, you've got three gods. God himself was there. And he did it by having his only begotten Son leave the form of Michael, leave the form that he had there, come on right down here, take on a human body, God indwell him. And that same one with all those names given him. He wasn't Prince of Peace back there. He brought a sword. And he's still going to bring a sword. He's only Prince of Peace when the Spirit of God's reincarnated and we come back and all of this thing is cleared up here and he sits on the throne of Prince of Peace. And you're seeing the peace of God reign in our hearts right now. Because judgment has passed over you, the righteous, perfect bride of Christ that didn't sin at all. You were tricked into it. You always were saved. Why? The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. See, brother, sister, don't you see the perfection of this prophet, William Branham? This is the whole thing here. Now, look how much time we got. All right, we got a little bit of time to go to Hebrews. Never going to cut it off. Now, let's just look at this thing here. How you build this from cell to cell to cell. Let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter, 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy or bring to nothing him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, notice what it says here. He likewise became flesh. Now, let's go back to Matthew and see how it was done. Matthew, the first chapter. And as simple as ABC. It's verse 18 to 23. Now the birth of Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Just divorce her and have her leave the country. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear. See, now he's born in the tribe of David, Judah. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was all done that he might be fulfilled, spoken by the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel. That's what his name is. Doesn't say he is. That's what his name is. And when he's born, he's not Emmanuel. He's the Son of God. He's not God the Son. He's the Son of God. But at the River Jordan, when he's 30 years of age and God comes down, now you got Emmanuel. In other words, the fulfillment, which is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel said, and so on. So what we're looking at here is that Jesus did become flesh. And he's the seed that will control the whole world. That's why Brother Branham said Eve should have had that seed. But no, she had to mess it all up. But that's all right. Seed came anyway. So he took part. He became flesh and blood. When he rose from the dead, they thought they saw a spirit. He said, handle me a seed. A spirit hath not flesh and bone. That's all he had was flesh and bone. Didn't have any blood. The blood was gone. So it tells you right here in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, that he took on himself a human body. But you notice there's another interpretation to that word part. I'm not saying the man was correct, but this fella, old Donkey Hahn, he was a Greek student and an M.D., he said, the word part there doesn't only, he never took it as meaning apart from entirely. that Jesus as himself, not a part of flesh, came down and, you know, not being a part, but took a part in it. I don't believe that for 1 minute the Greek says that. I believe old DeHaan's right. He said he took a part, but not all of it. He certainly did not, or he'd have had a part of serpent seed in him. He had to be born this way. And Mary was an incubator. Her womb was a factory. And the only thing that she contributed was the source of light through the bloodstreams that went to the child. And he came forth a perfect child. And he was circumcised. What happened to the flesh? That's the part that went back to the dust. Instead of some idiot trying to tell you that Jesus went back to the dust. Where's the high priest? Where's the mediator? Where's the intercessor? Where's the one that said, my father's keeping this secret back from me until he wants to tell me? What, you're going to bring him back from a heap of dust again as the uncomatizer? See what kind of mess you get into? You start fooling around as though you got answers? Oh, they got the answers. I'm going to tell you something. These Branhamites don't even appreciate this message enough to make it a new patch on an old garment. They make a horrible, rotten, lousy, stinking, vulgar, unspiritual, ungodly interpretation. And then try to apply. Oh boy, that's the first time I said that. I don't think it'll be the last time. There'll be a bigger barrage of words than that. And if I can hand it out, you wait till God hands it out. Because if I'm insulted, as a pretty wayward child, and my integrity, my sister, is not in question. Get that flat. It is not my integrity. You say, but Brother Dale, that's how you see it. I see it like the prophet says, like it's here. You show me different. Anybody come with, they're welcome to it. They can't do it. They can sneer and they can mock. You don't even understand the judge. Do you understand you've already been judged? America's judged. Brother Man says, I don't pray anymore. It's judged. All that's cannon fodder. Big mouth Branham, eh? Two big three britches. Got carried away. Thus saith the Lord, and get carried away. You don't listen, people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the blasphemy? These people are blaspheming the prophet. They're blaspheming God and his holy prophet. Oh, anything goes in the Laodicea. Oh, it does? Wretched, miserable, naked. And this nakedness is the one that they engage in their filthy sexual intercourse with creeds and denominations and organizations. Idolaters. What's a prostitute do? You know what she does? She goes out there to entice you. She wants to serve you to get your money. The naked Pentecostal prostitute is wretched, miserable, and blind. In other words, like a whore, she's begging. The word wretched means they don't have anything. They're beggars begging. And prostitutes are beggars. For a little bit of money. Sold themselves into hell. Like the prophet said, the preachers are afraid of their pinches. Ho, 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 I'm not afraid of mine. I got a very good pinch and don't even use it. I don't use 50% of my pension. You can't have that happen. Creed mixed with word. You can't have death mixed with life. You can't have all these things here that people think they can have. That's not the way it goes. Over here in 1 Peter, and we read it so many, many times, it's the second chapter. And it's the 23rd verse, and it tells you, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now it tells you to be born again means you're going to get the same thing the twice.
get a choice. Is that right? All right then. If you're born of incorruptible seed the second time, what were you born of the first time? Incorruptible seed. And what happened? Creeds and dogmas came by. We got carried away. But the minute you're going to come back, it's the pure living Word of God all over again. Word upon word and upon word. And notice what the incorruptible is by the Word of God. Being born again, not a corruptible spora, but of incorruptible spora, which is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass. That's your body. And all glory of man is the flower grass. And the grass withers, the flower fades. Oh, yes, it does. It certainly does. And you'll die and you'll go to the grave. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. It started in God. You're a part of it. And it never ends. And this is the gospel I'm preaching, said Paul. And this is what Brother Branham preached. And they sat there. Bless God, it's you filthy men looking at us women. Why, if I stood on the street naked, you have no right to rape me. That's true. Why did you stand that way? I don't want women getting a shame complex. Now, I'm just reading the truth. Yes, don't feel bad. This is all in type. A good woman is the best thing God could give a man outside of salvation. So you got a tremendously high place there. Don't fuss about it. All right, now let's look at something over here in 1 Peter, the first chapter and the second verse. Now, these people Peter is addressing, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Now, let's just find out about Jesus. Let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter, 5 and 6. You also are lively stones. What's the first lively stone? Jesus. A lively stones. Are built up a spiritual house. Stones. See? Solid. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Can't get to God without him. What if he walked off? What if he quit? Or got comatose? Or suddenly fell apart? Now listen to me, people. I'm talking this way because that's what they're saying out there and their big conference in Canada was all about. Get rid of Lee, they'll kill him. Tell the truth. Who came down? The Lamb came down. Oh, he did not come down. The one who's putting all things under his feet came down. The same one that came to Paul, Elohim Jehovah. And Jesus is one word meaning Jehovah Savior. And God was in Christ doing it. Get your theology straight, my brother, my sister. Wherefore, because of this, what was just said, it is contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Well, now, just a minute, Jesus was elect, and we're elect. The first cell was elected cell, right? And what about the other cells? Oh, well, he was going to be the great Savior. You see, there's really three gods, what it is, making one. And God the Father, he had this great plan, and it went haywire. And Jesus said, well, Father, I'll go and die for them and make up for the mess. Oh, that's son, you go ahead and do that. And the Holy Spirit said, well, I'll just put the whole thing into effect. Hey, chapter and verse. Come on, here's the whole Bible. My Bible said the first one was elect. Then what's number two? Elect. What's number three? Elect. What's number 10,000? Elect. What's the last one? Elect. Now the question is, the elect one number one, what happened? You want to know about him? Oh, I'm sure you do. I won't be sarcastic. It's okay. That'd be nice. God, who in many parts and many ways spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds or the ages. Now this Son, who being the effulgence, that's the outflowing of glory, and the expression of his person, of his substance, and of holding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of majesty on high. So now you got the great Son of God, equal with God, purging us, the fallen ones, that great elect one, taking care of all the other elect ones, forming that great pyramid, holy city, with the Lamb and all us brothers of the same source, the sisters, looking to him and at him, with God, his Father, the Father of all, above the throne, the pillar of fire. Now listen, if I've got two horses, I get horses, male and female. If I have two animals, cows, a bull and a cow, I get calves, baby cows. But all you must never think, Brother Vale, when you talk about God having sons, it works that way. But it does. But it does. But it does. When God breathed into Adam the breath of life, he became a living soul. That was not anything but a miracle of God transmitting himself into human destiny. It was not an act of creation. Uh-uh. The spirit was, and the body formed. That was a part of God. Brother Branham said it was not natural breath like Mr. Clinton wants to say it. He's a liar. Because he listened to a Baptist liar theologian. So Holy Ghost, part of God. God said, I will have many sons. And he started with the elect one. And as Brother Branham said, you can't add a cat cell to a dog cell and so on. Neither can there be anybody but what? Foreknown, elected, predestinated, finally there. Do you think that people believe that? Well, that's their business. It's not mine. Not mine, that's theirs. Ah, yes, wherefore in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, just a minute, who are the believing ones? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, of the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia Minor, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Well, say, just a minute, Jesus wasn't sanctified by the Spirit. Is that a fact? Who indwelt him at the River Jordan? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Did he shed the blood or didn't he? Grace and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to God's abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And he could only do it by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because that's the lively hope we're going to live again. And when he rose, it meant we're going to rise too, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heavens for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, but not this time, down at the last time it's going to be revealed. And it's been revealed. Now he said, don't you dare shut the book. Now it's open. Well, there it is. We're going to close off there. Well, let's finish this one little bit. Where it says here, in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See? Now, right. Therefore, Brother Branham is telling us here, impregnation, as it were, goes right to the very end. It began back there, it begins now. If you weren't a part of God like your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now remember, you'll never take his status. You can't be he. Can't do it. But if you never had the same start, you weren't in that foreknowledge, you weren't in that election, you weren't in that predestination, you weren't manifest, hey, It's got to be the same because you cannot change it. Spoken word is original seed, and you see more and more every single thing that Brother Branham preached comes together more and more and just gets simpler and simpler. You just come to the place where look at you and say, look at, hey, when I look at myself and I look at everybody around me, I realize I have come to the place where either I ditch my senses as to sight, hear, smell, feel, intuit, and God knows what, and I don't care. Everything else is wrong. Just give me the Bible the way the prophet taught it. Let me read it. Let me hear it. Let me believe it. Every other voice, shut up! Shut up! Get out of my mind. Bring our souls out and shake them. And empty our consciousness and everything of all the old creeds and dogmas, everything we ever learned. Getting ready for the great day. Now listen, let's get this flat. To get ready means there's something coming. And you better be prepared for it. What's coming? The millennium. The rapture is just a little icing thrown in. Then this message gets you ready for it. You say, Bud, then I really don't know. I'm looking down that road tomorrow. If you don't believe you're getting ready by this message, you ain't ready. You're not going in. I'm not going in. Now what I want to do is not scream and dance and make a lot of noise. I just want to scream and scream until I rid myself of every thought and everything that gets in the way of this word until everything becomes a curse. And I could, as it were, deal with the curse in God's own lake of fire and burn it until I come forth as a clean vessel. But there's only one thing can do it, piling word upon word upon word. And each word abnegating every other word. Until as Christ one day must supersede everything. Because God will make it so. So you and I must have this word superseding everything. The necessary food in due season, the water of life. The spiritual air we breathe. That's what it's all about, brother, sister. And they turned down the prophet's last message and they said, oh no, the air we breathe is pure. The food we have is pure. That's not what Brother Branham says. What's dress got to do with it? What these things got to do with it? Why, we're rich in Christian goods. We got it made. We've arrived. We're here. This is it. But it wasn't. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in these last moments, knowing, Lord, that everything that was said by the prophet here, and we've talked about, I believe with all my heart, points right back to what he was saying. And then in the final analysis, it becomes a most abysmal, condemning message to those who turn their backs, just like that young man who went on getting richer and richer, had so many, many crops, he had to build new barns, and one day said, sold, eat, drink, and be merry, take your ease. You've got it all laid up, it's all wonderful now. And that night, you took his life, and he went to hell. And Lord, we see the same thing coming today. And Lord, I know it's easy to preach on. I've done a lot of preaching all the 50-some years or whatever I've had. It's just too easy. The big thing, Lord, is to by your help and yours alone to take your sword wet with blood and slice away all unbelief and ignorance and carnal knowledge from the mind, the spirit, down in the soul until simply that seed stands there with its own life, with its own integrity, with its own knowledge, with its own power, and yet fed by the pure word of God for this hour. Having therefore now the consent of two witnesses and agreement, each one of us now reconciled total, only one place to go, That's up in the rapture. May we, Lord, hear your word and receive your word as never before. Receiving it, Lord, not just simply receiving it as though this is the thing to receive, this sets us apart, this is different. But this is our necessary meat, more than the necessary meat that sustains our body. But this is indeed life, as Brother Branham preached, my heart panteth after thee, O God, as the heart panteth after the water brook. Wounded and dying, losing blood, just get to that water. And Lord, we are to the water. Refreshing water that will fill our cells to go on and live afresh and anew in the kingdom of God, having been transported out of here by God himself. Lord, help us to learn the lesson the young man did not learn, that we can only be led to you by you yourself. Our commitment entirely unto you. And that is by that word, because you did become that word. And flesh absolutely took over and are taking over again. And we know, Lord, it's going to end even as you said, for which we're grateful. So we appreciate this and thank you, Father, and ask you to make us more and more reconciled to truth, more and more sober and sincere, more and more down to the reality, entirely shaken away from all the things the devil is trying to trap us and get us enthralled in, and he's doing a terrible job because we feel so much of those pressures. Just get them all off. There's only one thing that counts, the gold tried in the fire. That'll buy us out of anything. It certainly will, because it's your own passive faith put to the test. And we're walking on and walking upward. The bend in the road, the turn has taken an upward trend, Lord, and going on and upward and on. Until one day it all comes together as you have set forth in your word for us, by yourself and including us. We pray you heal the sick amongst and help those who have their needs, Lord, get their needs met. Knowing if the need was met, even as Paul the Apostle said, that if you spared not your own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall you not also with him freely give us all things? And we see a people here, Lord, more than able, say what they want. No man can criticize his wife, and no wife the husband, children, vice versa, preacher, people. No, no, Lord, that day is over. It's all over. It's all one-to-one. Just like it was with that young man, it's one-to-one. And Lord God, I believe that's the way it is, and that's the way I want it. Not that I want to exclude anybody. I want it one-to-one with me and one-to-one with each other. So it all becomes a matter of that perfection we're looking for. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.